Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Whoa! Hour three, let's go. With Steve DeSager, I'm Chris Plank. Jason and Mike getting a well-deserved night off. Iowa Sam running the show. He's on the wheels of steel this evening. Buddy Lita Lab, Jess Frostberg, making sure that our guests are lined up. This is, from a guest perspective, an open hour. Todd Furman's going to join us in our final hour, but if you want to get in here, the best way to get in touch with the show is Twitter, at Fox Sports Radio. I mean, everybody should be following us and tweeting at us, at Fox Sports Radio. I'm at Plank Show, and DeSager is still Twitterless from the last check. Is that correct?
I follow. I see no need to tweet, hey, I'm in line at the store, and it's...
Gotcha. Understood.
I'm not on Snapface and all that.
Not quite that bad. I enjoy Twitter very much. I just don't follow me. You won't get anything.
Can I tell you what's become something that I'm infatuated with in a lot of ways? And I know that immediately some might go, ooh, you have middle-aged dude on Instagram. But for some reason, I can't stay off Instagram. And I don't post anything, so I guess I'm part of the problem. They have Twitter has these stupid things called fleets that are ridiculous. Instagram has reels, and basically all I do is I watch car crashes and NASCAR on these reels. What is wrong with me right now?
One and the same sometimes, yes.
Anyway, are we starting the NASCAR race yet or not, Steve? What's going on with the truck race tonight?
They are still in a weather delay with tape-delayed programming on FS1. Knowing that there's rain in the forecast for Martinsville for the Cup race tomorrow night, I'm sure they want to try and get in this Xfinity race on FS1 tonight. But programming note, FS1. Since it's not a Sunday Fox race, FS1 is due to carry NASCAR Saturday night from Martinsville, Virginia. But again, a chance of rain there tomorrow night, not just tonight. And one update, since we did see that March Madness referee just fall flat.
Went down.
Yeah, during one of the regional final game. It was Bert Smith, the name, in the Gonzaga game. And it was so scary initially. And then the initial report that night was he's fine. He may not even go to the hospital. And, well, the Indianapolis Star did a great follow-up. And they did eventually, just in case of a concussion, take him to the hospital. The last thing we saw of him, of course, his arms were crossed and he didn't look happy as they were taking him off on the stretcher. He explains in a story that they said, you want to just get up on the stretcher and how about just sit on it? And then, oh, here, just put your legs on. And then they strapped him in. The things click.
Right.
And so, oh, great. You fooled me. And then, so maybe if his arms are crossed, he's not looking nice. Maybe that was because they found a way to get him on there and get off and continue the game. But anyway, he got to the Indianapolis area, the hospital that night, and the doctor said, something doesn't add up. I want to know why you fell. And it turns out she told him, you went down because you had a blood clot in your lung. So down early in a game he was working in college basketball, this veteran referee, may have had his life saved in the future. Because he got that checked out. He was admitted in the hospital, put on blood thinners, and 2 days later the clot was gone and he was discharged.
Man, that's an incredible story. And which, by the way, with the way that he fell, I was watching that game live.
Yeah.
You feared the worst. You thought that he had had the big one. So
wasn't
it's
moving.
An incredible
yeah.
story. Yeah, an incredible story. Hey, real quick, before we move back to a couple of college football, pro football stuff, talking NFL draft and a little bit more baseball, I want to remind you that when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. I live in a town with a lot of train tracks. It's scary. It's dangerous. Just be careful. Trains can't stop. Okay, let me get a couple of tweets. By the way, to follow up on one tweet, I had brought up how Clay Travis had retweeted Mark Stein's. I think he was trying to infer that maybe because the Rangers had a full house on Monday that they were no hit tonight. Mark Stein deleted the tweet. And at the Steinline tweeted moments ago,
NBA writer.
Have, NBA writer, right, for the New York Times. I have deleted my poorly constructed tweet about Monday's headline and Friday's headline at the Rangers game. My apologies. To which the first response was, why do you root for COVID? So it's like, what?
Well, maybe it would be something that you say often on the air. Sarcasm doesn't come through radio, and it doesn't always come through the printed word either. Can we give him an out there? Maybe yes, maybe no.
And by the way, just to be clear, the tweet was 40,000 people at the ballpark on Monday, no hits on Friday. And I don't know if he was, you know, like you said, maybe trying to be sarcastic and funny about it. I don't know if he is, as Clay would label them, a Corona bro. Regardless, he's fighting against the haters right now. So good luck, Mark Stein. Okay. Have yourself a night on Twitter.
For the record, sure, Texas got no hit 3-0 by a San Diego native tonight, Joe Musgrove of the Padres. I will say, taking the virus seriously, and often on your Sunday night show for 12 months, we've said, take the virus seriously. It doesn't care who you are or what your job is or beliefs. It's a virus, for crying out loud. And, of course, what's come from South America is hit, you know, it's not the COVID that we knew, COVID-19 from 2019 in British Columbia. The Vancouver Canucks are still off. They haven't played hockey in a while due to massive COVID issues. The team now says many Vancouver players are finally feeling better, but the outbreak did extend to some players' families. 21 players had tested positive there, plus 24 staffers. So nearly your entire roster. The club said the spread was sparked by a single unidentified individual picking up the infection in a, quote, community setting, but not breaking protocols. British Columbia as a whole announced a record number of new cases, almost 1,300 new cases of COVID yesterday. So the NHL regular season is likely not going to end as scheduled May 11th. Keep in mind, there's a separate Canadian division. So at least for the Canadian teams, even if Vancouver is able to make up all these games they're missing, I can't see how they would be able to finish on the scheduled May 11th date.
This might be a dumb question, but how? I mean, I've watched hockey. I keep thinking the Kings are going to put it together, but just not happening. are they allowed to go out? I mean, how strict are their protocols? Because
you're still going to cities,
Yeah, I mean, if it's a community setting where protocols weren't broken, that's it's kind of a vague explanation, right? I mean, and also, I won't lie to you, if I was that dude, they're like, Plank, did you go to X place and did you have your mask on? And if I didn't, and maybe it started it, I'd be like, no, of course I did. I followed all the protocols just like they're supposed to.
Or did you have your mask on like Mick Cronin wears his mask? Yeah. And it's just... The UCLA coach yells left and right every 30 seconds, and when he puts the mask back on, of course, he's not speaking at all, which kind of defeats the purpose,
pulls the mask
down to scream, and then puts it back up.
Couple of quick tweets before we roll on. We were talking about the Dodgers game earlier today and the celebration of LA, I guess you can say, raising the banner.
They did that?
Celebrating, World Series trophy, and then, of course, most importantly, the rings. Jason writes, Laura Lasorda giving a speech to honor her father today as a 40-year Dodger fan brought a tear to my eye. It was just heart-wrenching.
And she said it was her pride to announce the most recent Dodger manager to have won a World Series. Here's Dave Roberts. She was the one standing near where Tommy Lasorda used to always sit, near the on-deck circle. That was one of the many moving moments, I thought, pregame. When David Price, who opted out of last season, when his name was mentioned, he came out and got his ring. They mentioned in his introduction that he's donating to the Players Alliance for Black Ball Players. He's going to auction the ring. He's not going to keep it. Aside from the fact that the guy donated money to pay, I think, what was it, $10,000 to literally every minor leaguer they had last year. So kudos to David Price a second time.
Yeah, and I know that naturally when you said that he was going to donate the ring, my first response was wanting to be good. He didn't earn it. But then I stopped myself and I said, listen, he was part of the Mookie Betts trade. He's looking better this year whenever we get an opportunity to see more of him, I think. And like you said, he was very instrumental in taking care of the younger players. So I figured you'd be proud of the restraint I showed, Steve.
Very good.
I was trying to go hot take guy, and I knew you would have been mad.
There was the flyover, which was great for any home opener. And also – for special occasions, they have a guy, Keith Williams, who sings the lungs out for a national anthem. They had this guy sing the national anthem before Game 6 of the World Series in Texas last year. Of course, there were no home World Series games last season, and then they clinched that night. They brought him to sing, not for the first time, the home opening anthem in L.A. today. And speaking of openers, did you notice yesterday that the Toronto Blue Jays had their home opener? Against the Angels, the game was not in Toronto or in Anaheim. It's in Dunedin, Florida all weekend. Their spring training site is their home site for the first couple months of this Major League season. It was announced today the Blue Jays are likely to play their home games back at AAA Buffalo starting in June, like they did in the shortened season last year. So while renovations are going on at the AAA place, they'll be ready when the Blue Jays get there in June. June 1st is when a homestand resumes, which means AAA Buffalo is not going to be able to play there, by the way. And so we have, in all sports, a real-world situation where, like, the Lakers played the Toronto Raptors this week. They didn't go to Toronto for that game. The Raptors are playing all their home games in Tampa. You can't, like I mentioned with the NHL, you can't cross the border back and forth because there are quarantines involved. You're going in for one game or one series. This just isn't, the math isn't there. It's not going to work. So the Toronto Blue Jays announcement today tells me, okay, AAA ballpark in a couple months, your spring training site until then, and nobody knows when they're actually getting back to Canada for home games. Although I will say, I mean, 3 stars at least for that spring training facility. They've spent over $100 million in renovations. It did not look like some rundown spring training place that they're stuck playing at the next year. Kudos,
they
Blue Jays.
Stay.
They're going to be there for many, many springs to come. That place looked good in Dunedin.
And then one more quick tweet here. This is from @RebelT210, who writes, Woody Williams was throwing a no-no day game against the Astros through 8 innings at Petco in 2007 until Craig Biggio doubled off him. I was there, and I yelled out, Woody's throwing a no-hitter. I jinxed him. Now, if you yelled at Rebel where he could hear you, maybe that could have been an issue.
Yeah.
But we do subscribe to the theory that you can't really affect it by just talking to your friends about it, right?
Well, I mentioned early
Vince Scully says so.
Who called more no-hitters than anybody, I believe. I mentioned early in tonight's show that the Padres not only were the only Major League team left that hadn't thrown one, and they've existed for over 50 years now, but that early in their history, in the early 1970s, they came close twice. One guy with 2 outs in the 9th inning gave up a single to break up a no-hitter, and another Padre, Clay Kirby, in the early 70s, was throwing a no-hitter through 8, but the team was only down 1-0, so when it came his time to bat, they pinch hit for him in the bottom of the 8th. And the pinch hitter struck out, and the reliever gave up 2 more runs in the 9th, and they lost anyway. So a guy was throwing 8 no-hit innings and didn't get a chance as a Padre for a 9th. So people have thought, well, you're cursed making a decision like that. Sure enough, 50 years passed before they actually throw one tonight.
Couple of other fun notes on this. I didn't realize this. The Mets were the most recent team, Jason Smith's New York Mets, which I think is the proper way to introduce them. Whenever you don't just say the New York Mets,
show,
you say
sure, yeah.
Jason Smith's New York Mets. I knew that they were the last team that hadn't had a no-hitter for a franchise. I didn't realize, Steve, that it was 9 years ago where they had finally thrown their first no-hitter. So, yeah, 2012 is what I saw up on the screen for Santana whenever he threw his no-hitter. So it had been a minute. Joe Musgrove, who threw the no-no tonight for the Padres, is the 8th pitcher in the modern era to throw a no-hitter in his first or second start with a team. The last pitcher to do it was Clay Buchholz in 2007. And I saw this incredible note from the guys over at 506 Sports. And if you're not following 506 Sports, you need to, because it's fantastic. They do all the maps for the NFL and for where games are going to be aired. The Padres entered the National League in the summer of 1969. It was the same year as the Montreal Expos, now the Washington Nationals. The Expos threw their no-hitter, their first no-hitter, in their 9th game in their history. The Padres get theirs in their 8,204th.
And then the irony is, I don't know when it was, roughly 20 years ago, Pedro Martinez, when he was with the Expos, I guess that would be more than 20 years ago, against the Padres, had a perfect game through 9. And then in the 10th, he gave up a leadoff double. And so you had the two teams that were expansion buddies coming into the National League together about 50 years ago, played each other, and they wind up with this kind of, as you say, no-hit history that's polar opposites. The Padres as a team had been no-hit 10 times, 10, and had never thrown a no-hitter until tonight.
Wow, unbelievable. So what a night. Every team now in Major League Baseball has thrown a no-no. The Padres are, as I guess we would say, on the board. Congratulations. So now the longest drought without a no-hitter. You guys you want to think about this through the break, or you want to take a guess on it now? Okay, think about this during the break, and when we come back, I'll tell you about the longest drought for a no-hitter. But before we take a timeout with Steve DeSager, I'm Chris Plank sitting in here on Fox Sports Radio, and I want to remind you that regular job sites can take days to find the right candidate. With Indeed, it can take seconds thanks to Indeed Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database and instantly finds you up to 20 people whose resumes match your job's criteria. Want to narrow the list even further? Add an Indeed skills test to see a candidate's skills that go beyond their resume. Maybe that's why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. According to Talent Nest, visit Indeed.com/credit.
I don't remember Yankees or Red Sox no-hitters in recent years. So you're saying that right after the break... You're not going to string this out the whole hour.
No.
Right after the break, you're going to get us the answer to this.
Right after the break, I'll give you the answer. The longest streak currently in Major League Baseball without a no-no is next, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Steve DeSager's in the house. I'm Chris Plank on a Friday night sitting in for Jason and Mike here on Fox Sports Radio. Iowa Sam on the wheels of steel, lead a lap, and Justin Frostberg producing tonight. And before I answer the greatest trivia question ever, thanks to a new website I just found, nohitters.com. I'd never heard of it before. Now that the Padres have finally thrown a no-hitter, who currently has the longest active drought between no-hitters thrown? No-hitters thrown in Major League Baseball. We'll get to that in just a bit. But Sager, we have an update on my beloved NASCAR and the Truck Series.
Well, it's notable because the Cup Series is at the same place where it's raining tonight. The Cup Series tomorrow night on FS1, and they are still not calling this Xfinity race yet. They're in an extremely long rain delay, and the bad news is it has started to rain again. Not that it's going to rain the rest of the night, but it does mean the trying process is going to have to start all over again. So bad news for those Xfinity drivers who are expecting to finish tonight. Not saying they won't, but they're still in a weather delay on FS1, and they've gone to tape NASCAR programming. The Cup race Saturday night on FS1 from Martinsville, Virginia, and yes, there's a chance of rain there. You know, the sport was off last weekend for Easter,
That's right.
We haven't seen some racing in a bit. You were talking no-hitters. I was reminded today with all the Kershaw accolades that he in his career has a no-hitter, and it was one of the greatest no-hitters ever thrown. I would put it on a list with the in my lifetime, some of the greatest regular season games pitched. The Kerry Wood strikeout game comes to mind. Kershaw with 15 strikeouts, no walks in his no-hitter, would have been a perfect game except for an error, as I recall. And Max Scherzer, I believe, has thrown more than one no-hitter. Scherzer had a no-hitter with 17 strikeouts and no walks, if you can believe that. So my question for you as to directly to your trivia question, does this include combined no-hitters, because I know the Dodgers and Angels in recent years have combined no-hitters from the staff where the starter didn't go all nine innings.
That is a good-looking question. I don't know. But B, I'm going to assume that when you hear how long this drought has been, that it does include combined no-hitters.
Okay. So out of the blue, just stick with my Yankees guess. I'll go New York because I don't recall a Yankees no-hitter.
My buddy Drake.
I mean, I recall Jim Abbott, but it's been a while.
Right. My buddy Drake and Norman texted in and said the Blue Jays. Sorry, Drake Dykin. It was not the Blue Jays. In fact, I think didn't R.A. Dickey throw one for the Blue Jays here recently?
Really?
By the way, I say here recently, and it probably was like 99. So everything was like, oh, that happened a couple of years ago. And they'd be like, it was 95, dude. What are you talking about? Anyway.
What I remember with Toronto is that Dave Steeb often came close to a no-hitter.
Very good
and
guess.
And I believe eventually did throw one.
The longest active no-hitter streak in Major League Baseball belongs to the Cleveland Indians.
The perfect
who
game?
They have not thrown a no-hitter since Lynn Barker's perfect game.
Wow.
To Sager, as you just hit against the Toronto Blue Jays, 39 years, 10 months, and 25 days ago.
Wow. That was against a Blue Jays team that was still in its first 5 years in existence, by the way, that perfect game. Wow. I do remember it back in the 1980s.
There you go. Our buddy Ralphie Boy at underscore the Ralphie Boy points out the longest drought ever was by the Phillies, who went 8,944 games between a no-hitter by Johnny Lush on May 1st, 1906, and then Jim Bunning's perfect game on June 21st of 1964. How about the opposite side of it real quick? Boy, we get a little sports trivia tonight. I mean, this
okay,
is
okay, as for
about.
My guess, I just looked it up. David Cone's perfect game was just over 20 years ago for the Yankees. So, yeah, this goes back a decade even before that to Len Barker.
See, it's kind of funny because you say 20 years ago, David Cone's no-hitter with the Yankees. I would have been like, yeah, it was like a couple years ago.
Yeah, and
right?
David so Wells, remember?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. It just happened a few years ago. What was it, like 95?
Actually, yeah, and Jim Abbott and Dwight Gooden.
Great. Jim Abbott, didn't he just pitch like last week? See, this is what's wrong with my mind. The Oakland A's haven't fallen victim to a no-hitter in almost 30 years. It's the longest current streak for a team that's avoided getting no hit. The A's haven't fallen victim to a no hitter since 29 years, 8 months, and 27 days ago.
One of Nolan Ryan's no hitters was against Oakland around 1990.
That's true. That's right. Kudos to NoHitters.com, which was created by Dirk Lammers in 2008. Thanks to the no-no tonight that was thrown by Joe Musgrove, I have now fallen down a rabbit hole of no-hitters.
Well, and for those who don't
pitched.
Know, why we brought this up is because in Padres history, this was their first ever no-hitter. The franchise had been around over 50 years and never thrown one until tonight. A San Diego native pitches one in a Padre uniform. 3-0 the final at Texas.
I've got to get off this website because this could become the next 30 minutes of the show. There have been 300... It's a fascinating website. There's been 306 no-hitters in Major League Baseball history.
Well, going back to the 1800s, you mean.
Yeah, 284 in the National League and the American League, and then I don't know where the other 24. Anyway, and the last no-hitter thrown before tonight's no-no were the Cubs no-hitting the Brewers at Miller Park
as
on
we
September
mentioned,
13th of 2020.
The Cubs catcher last September was Victor Caratini. The Padres right. catcher tonight was Victor Caratini. He has the last two no-hitters. He caught the 9 innings of Musgrove this evening. Wow.
It's kind of funny because I'm sitting here and I'm reading this that Alec Mills threw a no-hitter last year for the Cubs.
Yeah, exactly.
And my mind is like, really? He did? I don't remember anything about that. In fact, Alec Mills, the White Sox had a pitcher that threw a no-no in 2020. Justin Verlander. Thank you.
I have to mention that because Mike Harmon, White Sox fan, is not here this week.
Oh, he'd be so mad at me if I didn't mention the name. I'm sorry. The Astros had a combined no-hitter in 2019, and Justin Verlander no-hit the Blue Jays in 2019.
I just looked this up. There was a catcher in recent years that caught 3 no-hitters for Washington in a 2-year span. Max Scherzer's catcher for both his no-hitters in 2015 was Wilson Ramos, and the year before he caught a Washington no-hitter, Jordan Zimmermann. I wonder if that is the record, a catcher with 3 no-hitters caught. That's That's apparently not the record as I go further down the rabbit hole.
Listen, okay, no hit. This is the 39th no-hitter in April. This is, let's see, what is today? Is today Friday? This is the 47th no-hitter on a Friday. Let's see, what else can I dork out on this?
Jason Veritek caught four no-hitters with Boston. How did that happen?
All right, I'm closing this website. Well done, gentlemen. Well done.
Four different pitchers. That's kind of stunning.
NoHitters.com. Check it out. And congratulations to the Padres who finally broke the skid. I wisely, by the way, left NoNoHitters.com or NoNoHitter.com because that website is awesome, especially
is.
On a night like tonight. All right. So, hey, just to kind of give you an idea how the show's going to flow, I'm trying not to weigh you guys down with too much NFL draft chat because, as we joke about on my Sunday night show with Arnie Spanier and Sager's there with Lee, if I get started, It's like a NASCAR wreck. If you watch NASCAR restrictor plate racing, once we get into draft talk, you're in it. It's like the big one, and you can't
NFL
get out
draft
of it.
You're talking about not right. NASCAR drafting,
not NASCAR draft, not baseball draft, not any other NFL draft. If we start talking about it, we're in that wreck. There's no getting out of it. So here's I've put together a plan for the rest of the show. All right, this is very professional broadcasting, doing this live on the air right now.
Now, we're still going to Vegas next hour, right?
Todd Furman at a quarter past the hour. Okay. We're going to kick off the top of the hour with all the big sounds and highlights from the day that was in the world of sports. I mean, you're going to hear, we heard from Daniel Lust in hour one, but we haven't really heard from Rusty Harden yet. Oh, you're going to hear from him. I think it was Jason on
talking
Twitter.
Talking about the Deshaun Watson story, yes.
Well, yes, just the mess that this is right now. So you'll hear from Rusty Harden on that. We had the Dodgers ring ceremony from earlier today. Major League Baseball World Series championship ring for the Dodgers. You'll hear from Laura Lasorda, who gave a very touching tribute for her father. There's a couple of really good NBA games that just wrapped up tonight. We'll bring you the final calls from those. You'll hear from both Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth coming up a little bit later on. And let's see, what else? We'll actually hear from Joe Musgrove coming up after the top of
and
next hour.
We have a NASCAR update.
Oh, breaking news. Do we have a break? You know what? If I tried to use the breaking news sounder for a NASCAR truck race, the boss man, Scott, might call right now and be like, listen, you're fired. You're off the air.
They are
right
not
now.
Going to try and wait out the rain at Martinsville Good. For the Xfinity race tonight. They waited many hours. It will resume Sunday on FS1. Coverage will start at noon Eastern time Sunday. Remember, there's not supposed to be a Sunday Cup race this weekend, so Sunday's free at Martinsville. Later that same weekend, there is a chance of rain for the Cup race Saturday night on FS1.
Oh,
so let's just stay tuned. But for now, FS1 will have the big boys racing NASCAR tomorrow night and then the rest of the Xfinity race Sunday daytime.
Yeah, this is that moment where I remind you that they just added lights to Martinsville a couple of years ago. Used to not have lights there. So now they're doing a night race. Here we go. They don't want to mess that up on Saturday night. Come on, Mother Nature.
If you ain't first,
be a NASCAR
you're
fan. That's right, Ricky. That's right. A couple of quick tweets. Okay, listen, Coop, James, Justin in Cincinnati. Jamie, you guys keep pulling me back in to this no-hitter talk. Jamie writes, the Mariners hold the record for the most pitchers used for a no-hitter when they used six. Hey, right, you got to have something to hang your hat on. It hasn't, unfortunately, been the winning baseball that a city like Seattle deserves recently.
They have the
so
longest,
there we go, Jamie.
Longest drought, right, without the playoffs. It's been about 20 years.
They deserve it.
That's a different website. Then, you can go down the whole line. Longest droughts in sports without postseason. I'm sorry I suggested it. Continue.
Are you being serious right now? Because I do need something to do during the next commercial break. No. And then Justin in Cincinnati writes, I'm officially anti-no-hitter after Roy Halladay no-hit my Reds in the bleeping playoffs. As a fan of my team, I don't want them to get no-hit. But if my team's throwing it, I mean, this is going to sound crazy to some people. I'm a fan of no-hitters. How does that work like that?
No,
it makes
this
no
goes,
sense
this
whatsoever.
Goes exactly, Chris, to what you were saying earlier in the show when you said,
thanks,
wait a minute,
Justin.
Play back the Texas crowd with so many people
right.
cheering as San Diego threw a no-hitter against the Rangers. I don't mind saying this in capital letters, that I would never root for, especially if I were in attendance, root for my own team to be no hit, unless there was some complete jerk at the plate with two outs. And I just can't think of a scenario where I would yeah. root for my team as much as I want to see a no hitter in person. I've been to man, who knows how many major league games that I have not seen one in person. I've been no-hit in one of my high school games, but that's a separate story. As far as in person, I remember I had buddies going to the ballpark one night, and they went, and I had to work. I was in the studio, and guess what? There was a no-hitter at Dodger Stadium that night. So, of course, the night I still haven't seen one in person in the major leagues, but even so, I would not be the one cheering as my team got no hit.
No, I don't want to see my team get no hit. Now, what are you people doing in Texas? I know it's not a good year. I know the roster is a little bit young and inexperienced, but come on. By the way, Steph Curry misses a shot at the buzzer. The Wizards have just beaten Golden State. By the way, the man defending Steph Curry on that last second shot, noted defensive guru Russell Westbrook. So congrats to the Washington Wizards who get
by
that
way,
win over a
bad can I just say State. The starting guards for the Wizards tonight, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, known for their offense, each had 6 turnovers. I mean, just your starting guards had 12 turnovers in the game, and you still won. Okay, that's the Warriors season in a nutshell.
And this is that moment where I remind you that 2 games over 500 right now will get you the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference lookout. All right, hey, when we come back, I've got an incredible story from USC. And it doesn't involve a pro prospect. It doesn't involve the NFL draft. It's without a doubt one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard in my life involving the college football practice, landscape, team. And we'll tell you about it next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches. Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fitting song. City of Compton. I mean, this is hilarious, the story I have for you to wrap up hour number 3. Do we do 4 hours? Do I have one more? We do, right?
Yes.
With Steve DeSager, I'm Chris Plank, sitting in for Jason Smith and
Mike
Harmon.
We're non-union, Chris. We're going another hour.
Let's go, man. I've got so much stuff, and I'm trying to like fit it all in, and then I discover this website that's sucked my life to live, nohitters.com, and I'm going back to someone hits us up on Twitter, then I've got to start looking up, Bob Henley of the Cubs allowed 1 hit, which didn't figure in the scoring in Sandy Koufax. Perfect game. So I was diving into that. I'm like, what? What does that even mean?
There's the Dodgers' first week of the season. They went the longest time without hitting a homer, which actually is a misnomer because they had an inside-the-park homer, and it was the Bellinger homer that went over the fence, but then he got passed on the bases, so it didn't go down in the scorebook.
That's right.
As a home run.
That's right.
So for the longest time, a team that averaged, close to 2 homers per, I mean, they had an astounding amount last year, didn't have one. So baseball's funny that way. Tonight, the late game at Arizona. The Diamondbacks had 1 hit in the first 6 innings tonight, and they've come back and tied it. It's 5-5 in the 9th against Cincinnati.
Unbelievable. So we got a game going on during our show. Let's go. All about it. Hey, real quick before I dive into the story of the night. It's the story that everyone should be talking about. I want to remind you that when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. You see people do it. Don't do it even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Train safety, be aware of it, be smart, be cognizant. All right, I've got a story that I can't believe it's true. And I'm just telling you right now, I don't know Scott Wolf. Scott, I'm sure you're a super guy. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm not calling BS. I'm just having an atrocious time trying to believe this is true.
Is this a USC-related story?
Ding, ding, ding.
Because he has covered USC for years.
According to a report from inside USC's Scott Wolf, who heard this story from campus security, USC had a homeless person gain access to the football facility. Now, for those that don't know, I can use what I know. I can't even get into the OU football facility, Right. I mean, it's fingerprinted. It's not just, hey, maybe someone leaves a door open. It's secure. It's locked. And in fact, if you leave a door ajar, there's security there. So the fact that this dude was able to gain access to the football facility,
you could climb the wall.
Was concerning enough. Well, that's true.
You could
that's
jump from the parking garage onto the USC practice field. I don't know how else. Hey, keep in mind, context, USC is located downtown Los Angeles around, 35th Street, 39th, and so there are a fair amount of homeless people around compared to other college campuses.
We don't have that problem on the corner of Flood and Lindsay, I'm sorry, Jenkins and Lindsay in Norman is a fair analysis. So with that said, it's not just him gaining access to the facility. The individual was known because he was caught on the soccer pitches previously. He had made the stadium home and had been sleeping in a suite in the Coliseum for some time. He had also reportedly been in the hot tub with players and was somehow able to even grab a bite to eat at the football dining facility with the team as well.
Wow. Now, if you know USC's recent history, if he can donate enough, they could say that he rode crew or something. They could
That's
get him
true.
A scholarship.
They get him a scholarship. But he was able to somehow stay under the radar until he tried to go out and start catching punts at practice. So according to this report, he was able to grab a helmet and a jersey for spring practices, and he hit the field before someone caught on. According to a source, what gets me is the guts the guy had to just walk in like he belonged, the security source said. He must have been a cool customer in the McKay Center. If he hadn't tried to return punts at practice, he might still be out there because they might not have even noticed him.
And this isn't April Fool's. This is April the 9th. And as I mentioned, Scott Wolf not only covered USC a long time, but often a guest with Petros on the local LA affiliate of ours.
And the story, there's more to it, and we'll get to it coming up next, because I don't think we've even been able to scratch the surface on this incredible report from Scott Wolf inside USC.blog. Okay, we're also recapping all the top stories, all the big highlights of the day, including the first no-no in Padres history next. Chris Plank, Steve DeSager, and for Jason and Mike on Fox Sports Radio.